This is One North Stories. Our goal here is quite simple. We provide hyper-local, brand-based storytelling at the intersection of science, technology, and business here in Singapore with a global perspective. We are starting with a launch series focused on technology startups, and then plan to take the podcast broader, telling our stories, your stories, about the Singapore deep tech ecosystem. Whether you work as a venture capitalist on Sand Hill Road or in Southeast Asia, already doing R&D in Singapore, or perhaps a student dreaming big about technology, or someone in between, join us to learn about the exciting technology being developed in our labs in Singapore, their translation journeys to market, and the inspirational people coming together to make yesterday's dream reality. If you have future episode ideas, segment ideas, or want to partner with us on this exciting journey, please get in touch. Our contact details are in the show notes. These are our stories. We hope they inspire you to create your own. And now, on to the show.
In the Web 1, Web 2 is talking about the information. But in the Web 3, we are mostly talking about money, right? This is exactly the reason why we are working on the Web 3 security, right? Because you can protect the information, protect your data, I think, but protecting your money is have a definitely higher priority, right? So this is a completely new technology stack. And each of these technology stack is developed with new code and new infrastructure, and they have their own security concerns. And this security concern and the challenges are completely different from the traditional technology. And this imposes a new threat, new attack surface, which are not really clear to the developers. Most developers hate security tools. The key reason is that most of developers don't have sufficient knowledge about security. And once they see the scanning report and a long list of vulnerabilities to fix, they got stuck. So that is why in our solution, we're not only give the report of the kind of vulnerabilities, but most importantly, we want to help developer, what is vulnerability about? What is the root cause and potentially how to fix them?
As an entrepreneur, so you are actually developing the company and also the product to really address the real world issue and to solve the problems. I think that actually give the people really good and also a big sense of satisfaction. Of course, that you will have a dream, and then in the future you can list your company in a stock exchange and you can become the millionaire, something like that. But I think prior to that, I mean, it's always a tough journey. But I think that we should really encourage people. If you have a dream, then you should really go pursue it and become an entrepreneur, and you should, especially to set up your company. And also, government will be very happy to hear that as well.
Security is eternal. Yang Liu and T.Y. Hsiao join to share about MetaTrust Labs. The Singapore-based startup is building security tools and code auditing services for Web3, protecting information, data, and most importantly, money, as the web decentralizes across the blockchain. We first met at Switch, the Singapore Week of Innovation and Technology. Prof Liu was pitching at Slingshot 2023 and made it to the finals in the Transformative Digital Technologies category. Founded out of Nanyang Technological University in Singapore, they have built an AI-based platform to assist developers understand vulnerabilities in their code via Metascan, plus continuous security monitoring for smart contract vulnerabilities via Metascout. The software is deployed and used by companies and the White Hat hacker community as well. Listen on to find out more. Hello and welcome to One North Stories. Today we are here at MetaTrust Labs. In Singapore, originally met at Switch 2023, where they were a finalist. And yeah, we're here with Prof Liu and TY, both co-founders of MetaTrust Labs, to find out a bit about your backgrounds and the company and the great plans that you have. Welcome to One North Stories.
Good pleasure to meet you guys here.
Thank you for having us. Yes.
Okay, great. Maybe we could start a little bit about your backgrounds and how you met. Maybe starting with you, Prof Liu.
I'm a faculty member at Nanyang Technological University in the School of Computer Science and Engineering. So my background is really on the research of cybersecurity related kind of stuff. And we have been working on this for the last 2 decades. And at a point of time, we find that some of our work to Web3 security has some commercial value. And that is around 2012. And we were thinking whether we have a possibility to have a spin-off from the university. After we coming up with some decks and talking to some investors, and this is quite interesting stuff. So this is how we get it kicked off. And yeah, I have been working on the cybersecurity research for a while. And there are a lot of, I think, very interesting challenge. And we have also a lot of interesting innovation, especially recently AI. So I think these things all add up together to form some kind of unique solutions we are having now.
Okay, great. UTY, how do you come into the picture?
Oh, I see. So prior to joining the MetaTrust, I was the investor before. So I run the small recruitment agency for like many years. Then after that, I got some cash. So that's why I to invest in a startup company. I met MetaTrust is actually one of the advisor. I actually bring the portfolio and also other team member to meet us together. And then once I decide to invest, and then after a while, I think this company is pretty interesting and also is actually half full of the very good pattern from the academic result. So that's why I think this kind of technology can really improve the entire Web3 developments and also to be like more secure, to give the people more secure coding and also like a tool for them to use to make sure their application is safe. So that's why, yeah, that's the reason.
Okay, great. So I just want to kind of lay a foundation for our listeners. Web3. I mean, this is something we've been hearing, okay, in common media for the last couple of years, but we generally know Web1 as read. That's the internet we know, we grew up with kind of as children, as young adults. Then Web2, read write, where people are posting, but most of that data you could say is owned. It's owned by the aggregators. It's owned by your Facebook, your YouTube, and you're just kind of giving them content. And now Web3, right, is the read, write, own, where you have the tools, right, to own what you write and kind of take that where you go. Do you have anything to add to kind of what Web3 is?
I think Web3 is talking a lot about distributed system decentralization. So this is that kind of the key thing I think people want to realize through this kind of Web3 technology. And also the assets are more accessible in the web. Because in the web one, web two is talking about the information. But in the web three, we are mostly talking about money, right? So this is another kind of very important difference in the web three space. And another thing is that it's a completely different kind of technology stack. This is another main reason people are questioning, but also we have a good group of very dedicated supporters want to promote this kind of technology. So this is the kind of thing, several interesting aspects.
Okay, just wanted to follow up. I mean, you made a very important point. You know, Web3 is about money plus information, but you know, Web1, Web2 was about information, and now we're adding money into it, which you could say, okay, information is important to protect, but money is equally important or even more important to protect. So is this like what you're talking about, distributed ledgers and smart contracts, or is there more to it than that?
Yeah, this is exactly the reason why we are working on the Web3 security, right? Because you can protect the information, protect your data, I think, but protecting your money is have a definitely higher priority, right? So that is exactly the key reason we have a lot of kind of cybersecurity technology, but we prioritize the Web3 security due to this kind of fact.
Okay. Yeah. And then just curious, I mean, what is, let's say, the security problem to be solved for Web3?
That is a very big topic. The reason is that compared with the traditional computers, mobile phones, you have an existing set of kind of technology stack. When you move to the Web3, it's a completely new stuff. You have the public chain, the layer one. And then people talk about a layer two to do the kind of scale up and roll up. And then you have your smart contract. And on top of smart contract, you have the application, the apps like DeFi, NFT, GameFi, and so on, right? So this is a completely new technology stack. And each of these technology stack is developed with new code and new infrastructure. And they have their own security concerns. And these security concerns and the challenges are completely different from the traditional technology. And this impose a new threat, new attack surface, which are not really clear to the developers. And when developers write all the smart contract and applications, they probably don't have all this kind of security background and understanding that hence they're easily to make a simple mistake, which can be easily exploited by the attackers.
Okay.
Yeah. So there was a joke, actually. The most successful people who transit from Web 2 to Web 3 are the hackers, because they made a lot of money. So that is give you some idea about why this is difficult and important. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's very important to emphasize the security in the Web 3 and also the smart contract like blockchain areas. Because in the traditional application, like in the Web 2, like the whatever application you are using right now in the laptop or maybe on the web servers, data, essentially the data transfer between each other. But in the Web3 areas, not only data, but also the real money. So the real money and token, they are actually transferring into like different places. So that's why the hackers start to attack these kind of things. For them, it's very easy because they are very skillful hackers. And then for the Web3 industry, they are just start to developing and then go into a mass adoption. So a lot of developers in the Web3 areas, or maybe a lot of the founder in the Web3 areas, they are not really care about the securities. So that's why you can see a lot of money actually got hacked from the Web3 industry, from the blockchain industry. And then, yeah, so the security and the breach issue actually happen every single day.
Okay. Thanks for that background. Okay. So now that's right. The good intro to MetaTrust Labs. You guys kind of have this tagline. Being a leading Web3 AI security tool provider, code auditing service, and yeah, you're out of NTU. So tell us a little bit, like, what are you guys actually providing to developers or to developer teams?
I think we have set of solutions which aim to support the complete software development lifecycle. You know, when developer working on the code, so they have different kind of stage of software development, right? You have this kind of design phase, development phase, testing phase, deployment phase, and the operation phase, right? So we are trying to develop services and solutions to cover all of these different stages of the software development lifecycle. But to be more specific, we have two major products. One is called a MetaScan, which aim to do the automatic smart contract security assessment. And that will help you to find vulnerability in your smart contract and provide possible explanation and remediations to this vulnerability. So this is basically we try to replace the human auditors to make it more intelligent. The second major product is called MetaScout, which is to do the on-chain monitoring. Because even you have done this kind of security auditing for your smart contracts, there may be new attack can be found later. So after you deploy your smart contract into the public chains, we will help you to monitor whatever malicious behavior happening to your contract. And sometimes the project team may be malicious themselves. They can just sell all the tokens and dump the project. So that is something we can also monitor. So these are the kind of the two major capabilities we have, and we hope to yield the kind of AI-enhanced kind of solution to provide most of this automation, security automation for the developer. So these are...
Okay, so it's the developers as they're developing their code, as well as upon deployment, you also continually can monitor that. So where are you guys in the, let's say, life cycle of a startup? Are you shipping product right now and supporting?
Yes, I think we have done a couple of fundraising and after that, now we have finished most of these solutions at kind of commercial viable product. And now we are mostly focused on the kind of go-to-market strategy and see how we can sell through different kind of channel, different kind of customers. And now we have some kind of new idea to do this kind of ICO to make it like more public accessible to the different users and developers.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, with software, we know it's never finished. when you look at the company resources, how much is, let's say, continually developing, refining your tools? And then, like you said, you go to market, you really need to sell to get this into the hands of the wider community. How do you split the time in the company between those two tasks?
I think now we are in the stage, we have most of the product there, and we'll keep improving our engines because there are a lot of very interesting ideas we are still want to add into our solution, particularly for this kind of AI enhanced kind of aspect. But now the focus is more mostly on this kind of sales and stuff. So I think it's kind of hop up.
Okay, great. You shared a little bit about the core IP of the company. Did that originate out of NTU, or kind of was already kind of ideas, but then, or, you know, filed out of the company?
I think we have some earlier research work we did in the university. And I think the Metatrust managed to turn that into some kind of solid commercial solutions. But along the way within the company, we also have done quite a bit kind of R&D and further development of the solutions. I think this is also quite interesting because now actually some of the research we are working on in the university are originated by the challenge and the ongoing requirement from the customer. So this has become really kind of a nice kind of feedback loop.
Okay, great. Well, you've talked about like Web3 security, and you said like your original work was in security, always securities. And now you're leveraging AI tools to kind of enhance the productivity to do that. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, but most of the AI solutions are actually started after the learning model, I think, is from the beginning of last year.
Okay.
Yeah. So we start with like some kind of trial to see how to play with the learning model and use them to help us to do some kind of security analysis. But later we find a more kind of innovative way to integrate learning model in kind of our solutions and make it really intelligent in the sense that we are trying to simulate how the hackers thought when they find vulnerability.
Okay.
So that is something we recently published in some kind of nice conference papers, but also with, I think, our own AI engine.
Okay. So the AI is, let's say, much more than a developer copilot. It's really the learning model of the vulnerabilities and then use that to enhance your product. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. So that is, I think, we have a copilot interface, allow the developer really interact in kind of the natural language with our end. And our tools. But the key capability is really the unique data sets we have and the unique insight about the hacker's mind in terms of how they find vulnerabilities. And then we collect data, label data, and then do a little bit kind of fine tuning to train our own learning model so that we can use this our own model to do this kind of security assessment. So this is how it works. But this is not trivial because there are a lot of trials and R&Ds and also a lot of data collection, iteration, and enhancement. But now the tools turn out to be quite intelligent. Actually, our security expert found that the tool is able to find some of the difficult vulnerabilities that the human may not able to find. I think this is a very interesting kind of developments using AI for security.
Okay, fantastic. So I mean, it's like the AI is like a white hat hacker.
Yeah, actually, we are trying to build to really have a kind of digital version of our kind of security expert as kind of agent, AI agent.
Okay, so would you also deploy this site just from popular media? You know, this term white hat hackers, people doing this on the side, finding vulnerabilities, telling whatever company about their vulnerability, and then often getting some monetary reward, but kind of all, you know, not necessarily as like a company job, but just as an individual job. Is this something that, is that like a parallel to what your software can do as well?
Yeah.
Actually, we provide this kind of tool and also the agent to the white hat hacker community as well. Right now, it's for free. So basically, I mean, a lot of hacker in Asia or maybe like a white hat hacker in Asia or like in the United States, they are also using our tool to find the potential vulnerabilities via the different types of bug bounty platform like Coforina, like those kind of things, and then they can use the tool to earn the money as well.
Okay, so maybe we can talk a little bit about your business model. So you said, you know, sometimes you provide the tools for free to certain types of clients or potential clients, but ultimately you're a business and you need to make money. So how do you guys charge for your product? Is it kind of all on a subscription basis? And yeah, how would a company come to you and interface for sales?
I think we charge them by the monthly subscription basis. Also, they can subscribe the products biannually as well. So once they subscribe, they can use our products and as many as times as they can. But also there's some limitation depends on just to avoid and then prevent people start to abuse the tool. And then it can make a lot of issue in the future. So I think that is a major business model. So it's a SaaS model. So the people can easily to subscribe them from the website and then they can start to use right away. And also for the enterprise, especially for those are large enterprise, if they have a very strong demand, they need many developer seats then to subscribe the things and which they can cut the products. And also in the future, we also can export this kind of set of API to integrate it into their platforms. Just like, for example, right now, a lot of developers, they developing the code use the standardized integrated development platform, like in Web3, like Remix ID or some things. And then right now, actually, you can find our tool in the most of the coding platform, and then they can start to use very easily.
Okay. I want to ask a two-part question. How compute intensive is your tool to use? And then when someone uses your tool, are they using your compute platform or they kind of have to use their own compute platform as they deploy the tools?
What we are providing is a SaaS service.
Okay.
So we host everything in the cloud. And when they use our tools, just upload the contract and then invoke our scanner. That's it. Yeah, some of the AI engine is a little bit heavy, but mostly it's like the scanning can be finished in minutes.
Okay, so it's not super compute intensive like some other AI.
The fine tuning, all these kind of training are done pre-hand. So what we're doing is just the inference.
Okay.
Which is not that expensive.
Okay. So then you guys just can expand your cloud offering through your provider as your clientele grows. Okay. And then just curious, like how do companies or developers find you? Is it companies coming and say, we have vulnerabilities and we need tools for this? Or is it kind of the development team, you know, comes and find you, or even individual developers, word of mouth, know about you and then kind of ask to have you guys procured into their system?
Oh, got it. I think most of the developer they found us is through the different types of community events, because we constantly to join the different types of developer event or maybe sponsor some developer events and make sure that our brand and our logo is actually can be exposed in front of the developers. Also that the right now, not many company they offer the similar products. We do have some like competitors, but our tool, the result of our tool is way much more better than others. So once the developers start to use it and then they think our tool is good enough, and then they will just introduce other people to use the tool as well. So I think the most of people that come is actually through the word of mouth and also the community events we exposed before. And also we do have some like exposure on the media part as well. So because of we constantly to publish those kind of the security article, so the people can really and also to know us, and then when they start to know us, they will start to try our products. And then I think that is the most quite an efficient way to let them to know us and to try our products in the past and also in the future.
Okay. Are you able to share kind of where your clients are, or is that confidential, like a geographic mix?
I think geographically, I think it will be worldwide, but right now it's most likely based in Asia. Because we publish most of our article online, but through the media exposure, there will be the Asia-based media. So I think the most of clients are based in Asia, like in China, like in Hong Kong, like in the Middle East as well. Some people, they are in Dubai and India. Yeah.
Okay, great. I have a question about deployment of the tool for a developer team. How important is it for them, being the developers, to have a robust DevSecOps design in place that factors both people and process elements? I mean, ultimately your product is a tool for the development lifecycle. So then the tool that runs and then it raises the security flags, it's only good then if the team can act on those flags. Is that correct? So yeah, how important is it for the developers to have good processes in place to act on those outputs?
Yeah, I think this is a very good question. You know, actually, most developers hate security tools. So, the key reason is that most of developers don't have sufficient knowledge about security. And once they see the scanning report and a long list of vulnerabilities to fix, they got stuck. So that is why in our solution, we're not only give the report of the kind of vulnerabilities, but most importantly, we want to help developer to see what is vulnerability about, what is the root cause, and potentially how to fix them. So this is the complete offering we have for developers so that they are able to use the tool in a more effective. And actually, to be frank, most of this kind of DevSecOps tools have a hard time to land any development team. Even in the Web2 space, I have been seeing all these kind of DevSecOps tools, but using them effectively is a big challenge. So this is also the thing we are working on in the research side, in the training side, how can help the developer to understand and have better tools. So this is, I think, continuous challenging but important question to address.
Yeah, I mean that. I mean, you hit it. I can imagine no one likes seeing problems with their work. And okay, one problem, two problems, maybe. But, you know, if it flags dozens and dozens of problems, I can.
No, because this is a become an actual task, right? Yeah. If I just writing the code, I finish the functionality, it's done, right? I can call it a day. But now I have to do a one step further, and the action are actually out of my comfort zone of developing, because this is something new to most of developers. So this is actually the one of the key challenge the developers don't like the DevSecOps.
Okay. Don't like, but I mean, ultimately need.
Yes, but this is now somehow the kind of the trend of the world, that the security is important, and in some particular industry, security scanning has become not just a security requirement, it's more a compliance requirement. If you don't do that, then you're probably not able to ship out your solutions, for example, like the automotive. So this is, I think, the trend and the future. And I think that has to be addressed somehow.
Okay. Yeah. Well, fantastic that you guys are addressing this. Ultimately, right, you want to make it easier for the developers to get their code shipped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Okay, great. So you guys have, I mean, you've raised some money. You have expectations. Your investors have expectations. You guys, as the co-founders, have expectations. How do you see MetaTrust Labs scaling 10x, 100x, beyond?
I think the security is an eternal kind of topic. I think hope with the booming of the crypto kind of markets, I think we can take also the advantage of this kind of development. But also, I think that we are looking to adding more AI into the picture, which can be also very helpful in terms of developing the kind of the strategy and position. So that potentially help us even go. So this is the kind of the things we're looking for, and hopefully go somewhere.
Okay, great. I wanted to ask, what's next for MetaTrust Labs? Anything beyond what we've already discussed?
I think we have some, I think, very interesting ongoing plan for this. That is to build something, we name it Agent Link, which is to position ourselves not only as a security company, but also as an AI company, and leveraging the crypto and the decentralization to help AI to be easier developed and deployed. So that is something we are looking to also this year.
Okay. That's the immediate future. Let's say in 10 years, we come back and look at MetaTrust Labs, or what MetaTrust Labs turns into. What would you say is the big goal or big dream? I mean, is it continual software security?
No, security is something in our DNA, I think, which we will definitely continually pursue. But I think now with this kind of platform plus AI, we have a much bigger ambition. We want to contribute more values into crypto kind of a world. So I think we're writing some white papers, maybe, I think, about this agent layer that gives probably more detailed kind of capturing of this I may not have time to elaborate more today, but yeah. I think later is the search for this agent layer kind of keyword and our website and white paper that be some kind of more deeper perspective of what we want.
Okay, great. What's going well in your founding story? And I'd say, what do you wish could have gone better so far?
Well, the startup is never an easy thing. I think we learned a lot of tough lessons. I think from my perspective, there are a lot of challenges along the way. Team problems, product positioning, kind of market situation, especially for crypto market is very dynamic. You need to really understand when to push and when to do what kind of strategy, right? So, yeah, but this is, I think, part of the journey and you have to learn by practice. So I hope I have just more experience about startup. I think that will be very helpful. Right. We'll see the different kind of challenges.
Okay, what about you, TY, coming in as an entrepreneur, investor now?
I think become an entrepreneur, I think as an entrepreneur, or being an entrepreneur is not a really easy thing. I think the investor is much more easy. And also that but as an entrepreneur, so you are actually developing the company and also the product to really address the real world issue and to solve the problems. I think that actually give the people really good and also a big sense of satisfaction and then to make your life to be fulfilled for as well. Of course, that you will have a dream and then in the future you can list your company in a stock exchange and you can become the millionaire, something like that. But I think prior to that, I mean, it's always a tough journey, but I think that we should really encourage people. If you have a dream, then you should really go pursue it and become an entrepreneur and especially to set up your company. And also government will be very happy to hear that as well.
So yeah, if people want to learn more about MetaTrust Labs, I know you guys have a website and you like you said, you post white papers and they're quite, okay, for me as a layperson, I can understand maybe half of it. So quite accessible for people with, you know,
we also have a Twitter account and please follow it. And because you will see all the hacking event and news in the crypto world, and you will see how often it happening. Yeah, so yeah. That gives you some idea about the importance about Web3 security. Yeah.
Okay, great. And anything else you want to plug before we close today?
I think that is more or less the things, but we do want people to know that technologies keep evolving. Crypto, Web3, AI, these are all the great technologies, but security is something need to always pay attention, make sure that they can essentially really benefit rather than just contribute to the hacker's wallet.
Okay, great. So yeah, if people want to find more, your website, your Twitter account.
Yeah, and follow us.
And follow. Okay.
Yes. Use our tool. That is the most important thing.
Yeah, we can give discounts whoever following this podcast. Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having us. Yeah.
And with that, thanks for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, please help to grow the show by sharing with a friend or colleague. Please also hit like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to look out for future episodes as we explore the intersection of science, technology, and business in Singapore together.